We are back with another episode. Welcome to the show. This show is called Polar Opposites because my co-host Dante and I, we agree, we disagree. Most of the time, it seems like we've been agreeing most of the time, but I don't know. Dante, do you feel different or the same?
I think that's called growth. You know, I don't know. No, we agree sometimes, we disagree sometimes. It's really about the topic. I think one of the things that people might appreciate about this show is that, you know, if you're passionate about something, you're not going back down, and there ain't no back down in me. So if I'm passionate about it and I believe in what I'm saying, then I'm not backing down on it. I'm going to get my point across. If we disagree, great. Point of the show. We just going to disagree and move on.
Exactly. So if you guys love to hear interesting discussions on topics relating to politics, music, entertainment, and pop culture, this is the podcast for you. If you're young, if you're old, Republican or Democrat, radical left, conservative, whoever, wherever you choose to listen, this show is definitely for you. So thank you for listening to this show. We love, you know, working on this show every week. If you want to continue to see us grow, feel free to subscribe. Be sure to leave a rating, leave a review, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell everybody about this show. It's the only way that we can grow, and we truly do appreciate it. So thank you for the reviews. Thank you for the word of mouth. Thank you for following us and interacting with us. We appreciate it. It's always fun when we look forward to your letters. Speaking of which, we have a section in the description of this episode where you guys can send us listener letters. So if you have a question, comment, concern, scenario, or all of the above, and you want to send that to us, we want to read it on air and we want to get to know what you guys think, and we'll definitely give you our thoughts. With that being said, enjoy the show. It's a good one, as it always is, and we're going to keep cranking out these episodes. Dante, how are you? How was your weekend? What's going on with you?
I'm doing the best I can, man. You know, eagerly awaiting my second shot, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the episode about vaccination and everything like that. I did have a pleasant surprise. So people have heard me on here talk about, you know, working out every day and being into fitness, and because 2 years ago I got fat, like I got up to 240, so then I lost 20 pounds and I always start floated around like 220-ish, and I thought, okay, cool, that's what I'm at now. And I weighed myself for the first time in a month yesterday and I'm at 208. I was like, what is going on here? I'm a little concerned. I was like, I know I'm husky and looking lean, but wow, 208. So I'm a firm believer that every time you set a goal and you reach it, set a new one, keep pushing yourself further. So now I'm trying to get down to 200, see what happens.
That's good. Congrats. We went live last week. I wanted to talk about that for a little bit, and it was fun. I was talking to Dante before we did it, and I was like, I'm nervous, man. You know, doing a live and putting yourself out there, it's kind of like throwing a party and sending out RSVPs, and nobody has told you whether or not they're coming or not. The drinks have been purchased. The balloons have been blown up. The drinks are there. The food is there, but nobody has confirmed if they're coming or not. So I was nervous beforehand, but it turned out, you know, better than I thought it would turn out. It was fun. You guys came in with questions. It was good to like interact with you guys and answer your questions, and the banter in the comments was great. It's tough because after the lives I save it, but I'm not able to go back and look at everybody's comments. So I really wish I could see all the stuff that I missed, because so many comments would go by and it's impossible to read them all and give thought to each answer that we give on the live. But it was fun. I had a good time. And you know, we said that if it's good, we're gonna do it again, and it's pointing up, you know, we're gonna do it again at some point. So y'all stay tuned for that. But that was, I guess, the highlight for last week, because we actually did the live as soon as we recorded last week's episode. So, you know, it's something to look forward to maybe at the end of each month, but it was fun. So thank you guys, if you joined, for joining, I guess.
I had a really good time, and it was great to see, you know, all of our listeners of different backgrounds just interacting, and we were having very thought-provoking and engaging conversation. And then, you know, the people just stopping by and showing love, like that was great too. You know, we had almost 100 people interact with us that day. So It was great. We'll do another one. Maybe we won't do it right after we record one day, because that's a long night for the both of us.
It is. It really is. I was tired, y'all.
Me too. Y'all saw I left and came back like Jordan. I was like, I ain't gonna let him do it by himself. I ain't gonna let him finish by himself. But I really had to pee, so I had to get out of there for a second.
You could have like left your phone just propped up and then went to the bathroom and then just came back.
These are lessons in growth that we're learning, you know? Didn't think about it at the time. But
yeah, it's all good. You live and you learn, right?
Exactly. But no, I appreciate everybody. It was great. It was a good time. It was a really good time.
Okay. So listener letters, like we teased previously, we have a method for you guys to send in questions. Feel free to send it our way. So this week in listener questions, this person actually sent this question in twice. So that probably means that they definitely want us to read it on this week's episode. So we are granting you your wish, listener. So send us more questions too. So this person says, hey guys, okay, I'm going to try and make this as short as possible, LOL. So basically, I shot my shot at this guy and then I invited him out with my friends that weekend. He actually showed up and we were totally vibing. He didn't text me the whole next day, and he messaged me the day after to say, Happy Easter. Like, dot, dot, dot. I'm not the type of girl to play games, but he was not reciprocating any of my energy. In his defense, he is super shy, but I feel like he just wasn't putting in any effort. So I guess my question is, he's canceled, right?
That is a tough one. You want me to take the lead on this one, go first?
Yeah, that's why I asked.
There's a little confusion I have in the way that it was written, because you said you were vibing the whole time and it was a good time. He didn't reciprocate any of your energy. So are you saying that you text him the next day and there was no response and you didn't get a response until 2 days later saying Happy Easter? So I have some follow-up questions. But just reading it as it is, taking it as it is, if you are going to tell us that he's super shy and you talk about you don't play games or waste time, then maybe you should just put it all on the table. Be like, look, I thought we had a good time. I enjoyed your company. I thought it was weird that you didn't text me back. Like, how did you feel about it? And see where you go from there. It never hurts to ask questions. Like, Justin, to tell you one thing about me, right? I'm always a person that I'm going to ask for what I want because I already don't have it. So the worst somebody could say to me is no. So if this guy is shy and is, you know, trying to protect your feelings and not let you down, wouldn't you rather know that answer than to get ghosted and just feel like he's an asshole? But that's my opinion on it. How do you feel about it, Justin?
I think that everybody communicates differently. I'm always somebody that goes with their gut feeling because I'm always right most of the time. Like I said, or like you said that he's shy. So maybe texting is not his thing. I feel like if you were vibing so much and you feel comfortable enough, FaceTime. Why do people continue to text? I think texting is so boring. FaceTime, like see each other face to face. If he's shy and doesn't know what to say through text, FaceTime that way and see each other or plan out your next move or when you're gonna, you know, see each other next. I'm not one to play games either. I feel like if you feel a connection, exploit the connection and see if there's something more there. She said that he took a whole day after the date to message her and he messaged her Happy Easter and nothing else. I don't know. He could be a friendly person, and even though you might be vibing with him, you know, he might have not been feeling the same way, and that's okay. I think that if that's the case, maybe his way of being nice and maintaining the friendship is by keeping you at a friendly distance without giving you the complete cold shoulder, because then I would think that you have the range to say that this guy is an asshole or whatever. But that's not the case. So there's no harm in reaching out again and seeing what he has to say. And then if he doesn't reach out the way you want to, there's plenty of fish in the sea and you can find somebody that reciprocates the energy that you bring.
The Happy Easter text is hella weird. The more I think about it, like that's the first thing you go say, like, you didn't tell us this and I'm not going to assume anything about you. But, you know, y'all go on a date and then you don't hear from him for 2 days. God forbid if y'all have sex, you might not hear from him for a month. And they'll be like, hey, Happy Earth Day.
To be fair, it wasn't exclusively a date. She invited him out with her friends, and I guess they had some like alone time and they were like feeling each other and the connection was great, so she thought, and then nothing when it comes to any messages the next day. I do think that's kind of weird, because if he felt the same way, he would reach out and tell you how much of a great time that he had, and he didn't do that. Instead, he waited the very next day and then wished you Happy Easter and then nothing else. That's weird.
That is killing me. That's killing me, that Happy Easter text.
Maybe he doesn't know how to communicate and texting is not his thing, but that's kind of strange. But I don't know. If you messaged him back, how did that conversation afterwards go? Was it more of the same? Was it not really giving you the energy that you're putting in? Like, let us know. Give us a follow-up. Send in another question next week.
Please give in a follow-up.
Give us all the details, tell us everything, and we'll be better able to answer your question when we have more details. So that goes for anybody sending us stuff. The more details that you put into the letter, the better your response will be from us. Because the more we know, the more we can tell you, you know?
Oh, and yeah, anybody, write in a follow-up question. And to you specifically who asked this question, write in your follow-up so we can have more details to give you more advice and share it with, you know, this community here. Also tell you, this guy you went on that date with about the podcast, have him listen, and he can send in a question, and we could give both of y'all anonymous answers. If he can communicate with you through text the way you want, maybe he can communicate with us via an anonymous link.
Hey, and we call that a shameless plug, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, a shameless plug. But yeah, I think that's great advice. So hopefully we were able to somewhat give you some advice on this. Obviously, it's not a perfect answer because we don't know all the details, but definitely hit us up next week and we'll definitely be sure to answer your question. So we normally do two questions each week, but this week we want to keep it to one just because we have a lot to talk about on this episode. So y'all, we have seen your responses. We're not ignoring you. We will get to every single question that y'all wrote in, because if you spent the time to write the question, we want to spend the time to make sure it's heard on the show. So don't feel afraid to reach out.
That's a fact. We are not ignoring you.
All right. So with that being said, let's transition into Off My Chest.
Justin's got a gift.
It's off his chest.
Dante has got to give.
It's off his chest.
Justin and Dante got to get it off their chest.
All right. Thank you, Julia. So this week in Off My Chest, I'm all about the energy that you put in versus the energy that you get out. So that goes with communication. I'm really big on communication. Today, actually, I went to go pick up a camera at Best Buy before we started recording. And, you know, the people there were really friendly. They had some good customer service. And that makes a huge difference, because if you're nice to somebody, they're going to be nice in return. I find it hard to believe that you can be nice to somebody and then they're rude back to you. I feel like the world doesn't work like that. People are weird. I know that. But most people, you know, they'll reciprocate the energy that you give them. So I think that this is a lesson for everybody. It was definitely continues to be a lesson for me. You know, the world is already so dark and gloomy already. The best thing that you can do is be a light in somebody else's life. And I know that's dramatic to say, and everybody's like, oh my God, rolling their eyes, Justin, shut up. But it's really true. It's really true. You don't know how much a smile might mean a lot. You know, the little things I think a lot of people appreciate. So if you can just be friendly and be a good person, that goes a long way. Do a random act of kindness to somebody. You know, tip somebody. Actually, don't do that because I don't believe in that. Capitalism will not kill me. But, you know, just be nice to somebody. A nice gesture goes a long way. So that's what I needed to get off my chest this week.
Thank you for that. I truly do believe in random acts of kindness and paying it forward. A little gesture to you might mean the world to somebody. If somebody's having a bad day and you do something little to make them smile, you just change the course of their day, and it could have a profound impact. So thank you for that.
Of course. So with that being said, Dante, did you have anything to get off your chest this week?
I'm going to double down on your off my chest. Yeah, I didn't have anything that rose to the level of needing to get off my chest this week. You know, I lost some weight. I'm feeling good. So
so with that being said, we always want to give some positivity, because sometimes the world can be doom and gloom. So in keeping with what we've continued to do on this show, we have a good news story of the week. So what is that, Dante?
All right. My home state. Shout out to New Jersey. An NJ town raises nearly $2,000 for a server after diners leave no tip and a rude note. A restaurant server in Morristown, New Jersey, has been given nearly $2,000 in donations after a customer didn't leave a tip and complained about the establishment's COVID-19 policies. So that's enough information to give you guys that the patrons there were complaining to their waitress, who has no say over this, about the capacities and timing restrictions, how long you're allowed to be in the restaurant because of COVID-19. So they decided to take that out on their waitress and write a rude note to her and didn't leave a tip. Once this became known and went viral, people, out of the kindness of their heart, started donating money to this waitress to make up for those people being rude to her. And I know you mentioned earlier, I think it's perfect that you mentioned earlier about tipping and everything and how capitalism won't kill you. So what do you think about this? What are your thoughts on this good news story?
I think that that's great that they're helping somebody out, but I'll continue to be the person that says capitalism won't kill me. And I don't think it should be killing any of us either. I think that tipping is still something that remains very strange to me. Americans have accepted it as the American way, and it's just strange how we're all like, yep, it's something we're supposed to do without questioning why that is the case. Whenever you go to a restaurant, what you're paying for is your meal, and that should be it. If there are people there serving you, those people should be paid a livable wage. That's how it should be. I don't think there's any reason why these big chains who can afford to pay their workers aren't paying their workers and are instead putting that bill on us to pay them. And then we as the public get shamed for not wanting to tip. And then people that don't have a lot of money also get shamed because it's like, oh, then don't come to a restaurant. But that's not fair. So because I don't have extra money to pay your workers means that I shouldn't be able to enjoy the benefits and the luxuries of life. That doesn't seem right. You shame these people for not tipping, and at the same time, you turn a blind eye to these rich corporations not wanting to pay their workers. Make that make sense. Stop being hard on the workers and make it harder on these corporations who are raking in millions because you are the ones paying their workers, not them. That's a backward society, and we need to reform that. There's so many things that we need to reform in this country. Police, we need to reform. You know, institutions like capitalism and tipping, we need to reform and take a second look at. I always tell you guys to question your surroundings. It's something that I'm very blessed that I have, the ability to question things that have been, you know, just understood as normal for too long. Why are things the way they are? If they're negative, why can't we fix it versus just going along with it as if it's normal? That's just what I have to say in regards to that.
Did you break out your prayer cloth? That was a prayer cloth moment right there.
It was a prayer cloth moment.
Wipe your forehead off, man. Wipe your forehead off. Oof. That was good.
Oof.
You know, I never thought about the tipping thing until you laid out that response to it when we first started working together. And it makes perfect sense, right? Pay people a livable wage. So then your staff is not relying on the kindness of strangers.
Because it is kindness. I'm glad that you said that because it's kindness. It's not a law that says that people have to tip. People just do it out of kindness or out of guilt. Whatever reason they choose to tip is up to them, but we don't have to, honestly.
No, you're right. But like you said, it's been this way forever and it's become conditioned and ingrained into our culture that, hey, we're going to pay these people, you know, $3 an hour and they're going to rely off the tips that they make from the kindness of other strangers. You know, let's try and be the change, I guess. I don't know what to say to that. Like, that's something that needs reforming. Pay people a livable wage.
Yeah, we say it almost on every episode, but that's going to continue to be a tagline of the show until things are changed. But until then, capitalism won't kill me. Don't let it kill you either. So what's our first story of the week, Dante?
I wanted to talk about these laws being proposed and passed all over the South in regards to transgender people, especially transgender minors. A couple weeks ago, the Republican Arkansas governor refused to sign a bill that would limit transgender youth's access to health care. At the time, he said this is a major overreach of the government into the lives of everyday Americans, and I won't sign it. The Republican government in place there overrode him and signed it into law. North Carolina is now proposing the most oppressive set of laws targeting transgender people that we've seen so far. And in Florida, the governor just introduced laws restricting trans kids from playing sports. And if someone is suspected of being trans, would be subject to genital inspections. I can't make that part up. I can't make that part up. Maybe Matt Gaetz was behind this bill or had some input on it since he allegedly likes underage girls. But that's besides the point. And I did say allegedly, so you can't come for me. I think we now have our new Roe v. Wade. This is what's going to end up going to the Supreme Court and being decided there. Laws of this nature. But to me, it's very rich that the party that pushed the idea of saving kids from molesters is now wanting to validate their gender by inspecting their genitals. So that's the first news story this week, Justin.
I didn't know that that was included in the bill. I didn't see anywhere about like inspections and stuff like that to see whether or not somebody is male or female. I think that that's, you know, going a bit too far. What I have to say in regard to transgenders in general is that I don't even know if I should say transgender people in general is that this is kind of like an uncomfortable issue for both sides, whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right. And I think what the right is doing is that they're trying to paint this as the one issue that the left is super passionate about and their one thing that they want to, you know, die on a hill about. And that's not true. We don't know everything. And we don't have the answers to everything. At the same time, I feel like this is an issue that everybody's still trying to grasp because we don't know what the best thing to do is in regards to letting somebody play according to the gender that they align with. I'm not going to pretend to know the answers either. I will say, though, that I have not read all the literature about hormones and whether or not taking hormones will, you know, balance out the playing field a little bit, because everybody knows on its surface, men, you know, have higher testosterone levels, and it's just different when competing competitively against women. So there's an imbalance there. At the same time, I don't know what the right thing to do is. These people want to play sports, so how do you go about allowing them to play sports but making it fair for everybody? Some people have suggested them having their own leagues, but I feel like that's kind of not great, because I don't think there would be enough of them to even have a team. But you never know. It's definitely complicated, and I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers, but I will say, being subject to genital checks and all that stuff is too much. What do you think should be done with, you know, trans students wanting to play sports according to their gender? Should they be allowed to?
Is that a question for our listeners or for me? Because
I'm for you.
I'm at the same place that you are, right? Like, this is new. So I think it should be all be dealt with the most sense and compassion that could be offered at this time. But I don't have an answer for that or what it is. I think that you shouldn't hold these kids back from playing sports. But like you said, how do we determine where you play? Or I guess, you know, the organization or the group that you play with? That's the hard question. And I don't think it's something that should be decided overnight or a rush judgment. But I think something should be done, because they deserve to be able to explore their passions and play the sports that they want to play.
I think it's all in the interest of fairness as well. I would hope that most people aren't looking at it in a discriminatory way. It's like, oh, you're biologically this. Nope, you can't play with us. It's like, how can we level the playing field and make it easier and fair for everybody? Because that's the most important thing. Imagine training so hard and then somebody else has a competitive advantage. You wouldn't like that. So we have to make sure that everybody is treated fairly and treated with respect. You can have a stance. Nobody's saying you can't have a stance, but if you are, you know, going after these people and targeting them and harming them, I think that that's when you've overstepped your bounds. I think that we have to live in the society that we all, you know, feel comfortable living in, and that goes with everybody, not just you, but that includes trans people as well. They deserve to live in a society that respects them, and how we go about, you know, adjusting everything to make sure that it's fair, I don't know. But if you guys know, if you have a perspective that's different from us, maybe we can take this topic into a live, because a lot of our listeners are very, very, very smart. And the conversations that we can have on this topic, I think would be healthy for everybody. Because like I say on every episode, if you do not talk about these things, you cannot take the first step in solving these issues. So it starts with the conversation. And then after the conversation, maybe we can move towards action.
Very well said and very well put. So thank you for that.
Of course. Johnson & Johnson is next, right?
Yeah, so the distribution of the Johnson & Johnson single coronavirus vaccine shot was paused last week. This was due to 6 people developing blood clots as a side effect to receiving the vaccine. Now, you know, we have conspiracy Twitter and people saying, see, you shouldn't get the vaccine. We told you so, et cetera, et cetera. And I pride myself and pride this podcast on being a podcast based on facts. Okay, let's hit you with some facts and some numbers. And this isn't fake news. 6 people out of almost 7 million people that got the shot developed blood clots. That's 0.00088% of people total that were vaccinated. And to put that in perspective, ladies, birth control pills, you have a 0.05% to 12% chance of developing blood clots out of 1 million patients. Cigarette smokers, 18% chance of developing blood clots out of 1 million case smokers, right? And the actual coronavirus infection, 16.5% out of 1 million developed blood clots. So I love this. So 6 people get blood clots and it automatically validates your dumbass conspiracy theories, but 3,000 people were dying a day. And you said, oh, it's not that serious. It's like the flu. It's like the cold. Selective outrage and selective use of data is a dangerous thing, and I refuse to acknowledge bad faith arguments. What are your thoughts, Justin?
Well, you said you got your first dose of your vaccination, right?
Yes, I got Pfizer.
Would you be down to get a Johnson & Johnson vaccine had you not gotten Pfizer?
So I did my research on the ones that we have available, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer. And from everything I saw, Pfizer seems like the one with the best results that we've studied so far. So I was going to try and hold out and reschedule myself until I could get Pfizer.
So you chose, like, in a way, you made the decision to not go with Johnson & Johnson. Yes. Like, if, let's say, the place that you got it at, they didn't have Pfizer or Moderna, they had Johnson & Johnson. Would you get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
No, I was going to get Pfizer. I made up my mind once I scheduled that I was getting Pfizer.
No, I'm saying, I'm giving you a hypothetical. If those two, Moderna or Pfizer, were not available and only Johnson & Johnson was available, would you get Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with it.
Okay, here's the thing. That's all I needed to say.
Here's the thing. We're talking 0.000088%. Like, I've done a lot more things that have risked my life, you know what I mean, than taking a coronavirus vaccine, that there's a 0.000088% chance of me developing a blood clot. We're talking 6 people out of 7 million. I like those odds because, like I said, when 3,000 people were dying a day, motherfuckers didn't want to put on a mask and stay 6 feet apart from their nasty ass friends.
I mean, you have a point. I think that it's just annoying because the people that want to believe in conspiracies will use this as validation that vaccines make you crazy or give you rashes or cause infertility. All the stuff that they believe, they feel validated because 6 people out of the millions that have taken the Johnson & Johnson vaccine came down with those unfortunate, you know, symptoms. But at the same time, it's only 6 people out of millions. And I feel like people shouldn't feel panicked, but because of how the news is and how they sensationalize everything, they're like, oh my God, side effects of Johnson & Johnson. So now it makes me sad because there was people that were signed up to get a vaccine and maybe it wasn't Johnson & Johnson and it was Moderna or Pfizer. And they're like, you know what? I don't have to get this vaccine. Why don't we wait a little bit and wait for more results to come in? That's what I'm, you know, mad about, because there's probably a lot of people that were on the wait list to, you know, get the vaccine, and a lot of people have dropped off. I saw some reports saying that that is true, that that is the case.
That is definitely those people's choice. It doesn't help that, you know, it gets spun and put out there like it's a death shot that people are getting. You know, I can't emphasize it to you enough. 6 out of 7 million, the chances of, you have a better chance of winning the lottery, but, you know, to each his own. But I'm not, yeah, I'm not getting into the disinformation tank and squabbling with those people.
I'm not either. I don't have the time or energy for it. It makes me tired just even talking about this. But, you know, y'all, I'm getting my vaccine next Sunday. So if I have any side effects or anything, I'll let y'all know. Y'all will be the first to know about my experience getting the vaccine. But I'm excited. The closer we get to all getting it, herd immunity will be here. And we'll go back to a sense of normalcy, whatever that's supposed to mean. But, facts. You know, I'm happy. I'm ready. And hopefully you guys out there have already gotten it or you will receive it soon. So keep us updated. If you got your vaccine, hit us up in the anonymous thing and let us know if you had any side effects or what your experience was with the vaccine. We'd love to know.
Yeah, I get my second dose next Thursday. So,
ooh.
Yeah, I'll be able to tell y'all how, we'll both be able to on a following episode to tell you how we're feeling and what's going on.
Exactly. So. It's exciting. It's exciting. I'm so happy that, you know, we're even in a position to get vaccinated. Think of how privileged we are to have access to vaccines, but choose not to get a vaccine. You know, anybody that says that you're privileged, check your privilege if that's the case. There's countries out there that are dying, wishing that they had a vaccine. And there's people out here with all the access that we have choosing not to get vaccinated when it's a good thing for not only yourself, but for the whole population. But
we still get vaccinated for polio. You know how big of a thing polio was back in the day? And if you read the side effects of polio, besides it putting you in a wheelchair and making you paraplegic, it had the same sort of symptoms as coronavirus. And they took it very serious back in the day. The president had polio. And we still get those shots. So I just don't understand how we're at a place today where this becomes a political thing of, oh, man, if you believe in this, you know, you're on this side. And if you don't believe in it, you're on this side. Like, no, it's humankind, man. Listen, if you think that over 550,000 people dead is, you know, a common flu or something that's just going to happen anyway, then I have to, and I don't like casting dispersions on people, but I have to think that you're kind of a fucking idiot.
I didn't even get worked up about this. This is not, if y'all could see me on video right now, I'm just like, I have a glaze over my face. I really do not care. Like, if you don't want to take it, that's on you. Pfizer, or I don't know who, I think Johnson, I don't even know who came out and said this, but I think the CDC said that we might have to get another booster dose. So that information is making people go, see, it's because there wasn't enough of this in there. And now they're trying to put more. And I'm like, you all believe whatever you want to believe. I already was of the belief that we were going to have to get this every single year. So it's like, what are y'all so surprised about?
That's so foolish. Like, yo, every 10 years you got to go get your fucking tetanus shot. You got to get your tuberculosis shots. Like, what are you talking about? Is inoculation is not new, but you know, I'm doing that thing where when you argue with fools, you can't tell who is who. So I'm going to stop arguing.
Yeah. I've been there.
I apologize for taking up the time right now on the podcast.
I've been there, done that. I don't even have the energy to even get worked up about this stuff anymore. I will say, though, that, you know, if you can take it, go ahead and take it. This is not endorsed by the CDC. Maybe they'll sponsor the show. Who knows? But this episode is not endorsed by the CDC.
You know the hate mail that we'll get? People will be trying to come find us if we get endorsed.
I don't care.
You guys are spreading fake information.
Do we have any, like, country bumpkins that even listen to the show? Who knows?
I don't know if their Wi-Fi worked good enough out there, you know.
I don't know, but yeah, that's all our talk on vaccines on this episode. We have to talk about Trump and Black Lives Matter and accountability. So this week, there's a couple stories that caught my attention. If you guys have been paying attention to the news, one of the co-founders of the Black Lives Matter organization, because yes, it is not only a slogan, it is an actual organization. One of the co-founders is under some fire because people looked into her records and saw that she is the purchaser of multi-million dollar homes, and she claims to live this Marxist lifestyle. So people are like, how can you be a Marxist but then go out and buy all these million dollar homes? It looks hypocritical. And at the same time, people are wondering, you know, what's happening with all our money? So, you know, that's a valid question, because a lot of people have been donating to Black Lives Matter. I think over the summer, they said that they raised $90 million from all the people contributing money to their campaign. And, you know, people are mad. They're like, what are you doing with this money? Did you use any of the money that was, you know, crowdfunded for your homes? We want to know what's up. So what do you think about the story? And then what did you think of the Trump campaign story? You can give a little bit of insight about that.
Yes. So with the donations that 45 was receiving, because we don't say that name on this show, they have refunded around $122 million. Like I said, I don't like to talk a lot about this guy, but when he's scamming people that trusted him, it's something that we should bring up and we should talk about, because we're not only holding people who we disagree with accountable, but we can hold people that we agree with accountable too. As Justin just read that story about BLM. When you signed up to donate, there was a small section that automatically checked off recurring donations for the amount that you donated. So if you did this and you didn't, and you wanted to uncheck it so you didn't have to do a reoccurring payment of $500 or whatever the total amount is that you did, it will say, we have to tell Beep that you were joining the radical Democrats and you were not a patriot. There are stories about recently deceased people continuing to be charged after their death and people fighting their banks about these charges and overdraft fees. I mean, you played stupid games and you won stupid prizes. With that and with the... I'll touch the BLM thing first. I think that's fair because you read your story first, right?
Yeah.
In terms of an organization, I mean, look, in a lot of people's eyes, they're the devil. I don't care to debate the organization when they buy. I debate the sentiment, right? If we can't agree that Black Lives Matter, then I don't want to have a conversation with you no more, because you're saying that my life does not matter. I'm not talking about the statement being tied to an organization. And that's kind of where I'll stop and let you get back in there.
I just think that when it comes to charitable organizations or organizations that say they're going to use the money for good, there has to be a level of transparency there. I think that people have a right to know where their money is going. Like, that's why I was so mad whenever we saw stories about Hurricane Katrina and how the Red Cross was, you know, getting all this money from people making donations. But then, you know, people were saying that a lot of the money they collected didn't even go where it was supposed to go. So my question is, how are these organizations spending the money? I think that people have a right to know. If you're supposed to be like a nonprofit organization, I feel like you should know where the money is going. That's why if I'm ever in a position to have my own foundation, there's going to be transparency there. I want people to know exactly where their money is being used. I think it's only fair. You are using your hard-earned money to fund something that you believe in. And I think it's only fair that I reciprocate that energy and show you where your money is going. Organizations have a lot of power. And I feel like with that power comes a great deal of responsibility for the people that donated and the people that it's supposed to help. It makes no sense to donate a lot of money and be okay with not knowing where that money went. That's weird. Everybody should be curious, where's all that money going? And most importantly, how is it being spent? Is it going to the salaries of these people so they can buy multi-million dollar homes? Is it going to actual organizations that fight for justice for everybody? I think that's an important question and people have a right to know. So whenever she was asked about it, she was like, you know, the thing that people do whenever they're caught in a trap. Yeah, you got caught. You got caught. So, you know, well, knock, knock. Uncle Sam is coming. The people that donate to Black Lives Matter are coming and they have a right to know where that money went.
Well, here's the thing. What you said was interesting that I agree with. And I think they could take it a step further. It's documented. When you donate to somewhere, they have to document that you donated. I remember donating in 2020 to some of the campaigns, right? And they, you know, ask you where you're from and what you do for a living and things like that. And they have your email address, obviously. So it's documented. Send me a statement back and let me know what my money went towards. Right? If it was towards one of the commercials that you produced, you know, have a section where we can go look that up. But you're right. There needs to be follow up about where this money is being, how is this money is being used. And what is being spent on? Because I'm not doing this to fund anybody's private life.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are, honestly. I think that you would be mad if you found out that somebody brought a private jet or bought $1 million home with the money that's supposed to be used for justice and equality. We want to know. We want to know.
And it's doubly bad because the movement had so much attention this summer and so many people were on board with it that weren't on board with it before. It's getting all this publicity and these people are just abusing it, if that's the case, right? Allegedly, These people are abusing it. So now people are going to turn their backs on it and turn their wallets away from it even more to, like I said before, I don't give a damn about the organization. I care about the sentiment, right? If we can't agree on that statement, then there's nothing else for us to talk about. We don't have a conversation to be had there. But bad publicity does not help our cause at all.
It really doesn't. And that's why I feel like if they want to counteract this bad press that they're getting, they need to be more transparent. Because it's not only like people that aren't black that are questioning. I think everybody is questioning. $90 million is a lot of money donated to one organization. Where is the money going? How is it being spent? And how is it helping in situations, you know, like the ones we're seeing this past few weeks with people getting shot unjustly, with people being arrested and tortured? It's not fair. It's not fair. So if that money is supposed to go towards those things and preventing those things from happening and making sure we live in an equal society, where are the receipts? Where are the receipts? And to, you know, bounce back on this topic, they're not only questioning this co-founder of Black Lives Matter, they're questioning all of the leaders who come out with a statement and a tweet each time there's a police killing. Sean King, Tamika Mallory, Ben Crump. People have questions for them too, because if y'all have noticed, for every high-profile black person that gets killed, y'all see the same black attorney there representing them. His name is Benjamin Crump, and he's a lawyer. You know, he fights for civil rights, and he always settles in these cases with the city, and he gets all these multi-million dollar settlements for these families. But at the same time, people are like, are you in it for yourself, or are you in it, you know, for justice? And I think that's a fair question, because why is this one person at the forefront of every high profile police killing?
Maybe he knows how to get a payment. And I'm not saying that facetiously. I'm not saying that to be funny. Maybe that's what he's good at. Maybe he's like, I know enough to know that justice will not be served in a criminal courtroom. So in a civil courtroom, I'm going to get you monetary relief for whatever's going on. I'm not saying I can agree with it.
Is that not a defeatist attitude?
I mean, sure, you could view it as that. I'm not saying that's the attitude I have. I'm saying, but it could be, right? But the track record on this thing isn't too great. We know we talked about before off air what the definition of insanity is. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I don't know. You can look at him as a person that's one of those insurance attorneys that chase around ambulances going to car accidents. Like, oh man, there's black pain, let me go profit off of it. That's how people want to view them. That's their prerogative to view them that way too. I haven't known too much about this guy until I was doing research for this episode.
I just think it's weird. I think that people have a right to know where his intentions lie. Why are you always forefront in every single high profile case? I think that's weird. Because let's not kid ourselves here. If you're going to be these people's lawyers, you're also getting a cut of that settlement. So all these multi-million dollar settlements that he's breaking with all these families, he's getting a percentage of that. So it's like, are you trying to cut a check for yourself, or are you really about getting justice? Because it seems very self-serving from the outside looking in. And Sean King, a lot of people have issues with him too. People say that he likes to exploit trauma to his own benefit, and that's what his brand is. Trauma, posting that on his stories and doing all that. You know, I don't really have an opinion about him, but it is interesting when people make those points about him. People are like, is he even black? He's like pretending to be black and all this kind of stuff. I found that very interesting as well.
I don't have an opinion on Sean King one way or the other. I can say that I noticed that the man can raise money. That's what I can say. He can fundraise. I've seen him fundraise for people who have just gotten out of jail or trying to, you know, get people out of jail, you know, pay for medical bills after an incident, things like that. So I've seen the man and his fundraising power. That's what I can say about Sean King. Who is Tamika Mallory? Can you give the people some background on that? Because I don't know. I've never heard of her.
She's another activist that's in the vein of Sean King and Ben Crump and all these other people. She's a black woman. Y'all have probably seen her at a lot of marches. If y'all watched the Grammys, actually, one of the rappers that performed, he highlighted her in his performance. She was the one that was at a podium saying, "We want justice and we want this." I thought that was very cringy. But anyway, she's always out there doing all that kind of stuff. But she's one of those prominent Black Lives Matter figures and activists. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it's very weird. And like I said earlier in the episode, we need to question things that we're just accustomed to. We always see Ben Crump, you know, in the middle of these cases. Why? Why is he always there? He represented Trayvon. He represented George Floyd. Like, there's so many people that he represented. And it's like, why is this guy always the face of all of this? And it's always a settlement behind the scenes. And then at the end of the day, the families never receive justice. So I'm like, whose side are you on? Are you on your own side, or are you fighting for the people to get justice?
And I think it's a fair question to ask. I really do.
And I guess to cap off this episode, on Twitter, y'all's favorite app. So people were having a conversation about Jamie Foxx versus Will Smith. They're very comparable in the sense that they're both prestige actors. Either they've won an Oscar or they've been nominated for multiple Oscars. People are like, who's better? Who's the better actor? You know, who has the better career? Whose side are you on when it comes to the discussion of Jamie Foxx versus Will Smith? Do you have a horse in this fight?
No, the only horse I have in the fight is my opinion, but I ain't passionate about, you know, neither one of the, you know, to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying this. If you're talking about in terms of who's a better actor, I mean, I think Will Smith is. I think Will Smith is a better actor. Listen, I hope you guys are paying attention, because I guarantee you if I would have said that I think Jamie Foxx is a better actor, Justin would be like, have you ever seen Bad Boys 1 and 2?
No, I don't think that Will Smith is that good of an actor. I'm being serious. I don't think that he's that good of an actor, to be honest. I think that he's good at what he's good at, and he plays to his strengths, which is smart. But when it comes to range, I don't think that he has the range of Jamie Foxx, because Jamie Foxx can do comedy. He can do action. He's very good at drama. He has all the credentials that are there that make him, you know, a better actor. And I say better, it doesn't mean like he's that much better, but if you're going to pick one, I would pick Jamie Foxx to star in my drama versus Will Smith, because Will Smith just gives like a corny vibe.
Jamie Foxx is the closest thing we have had to Frank Sinatra since Frank Sinatra, and people don't want to make that correlation or that connection because he's black, but like, think about it. The man can act. He can sing. He's won awards in both of these things. He's charismatic as hell. He started off as a comedian. Like, he's the black Frank Sinatra. He's Jamie Foxx. He's super talented. And like you said, he has the range and he could do whatever he wants to do. But I think that's an interesting, you know, face off of two people and ranking, you know, their careers and movies and stuff against each other. You know, so you're saying the best Jamie Foxx performance is usually better than the best Will Smith performance.
I guess so. It's hard to compare. I'm just talking about skills, because people can argue that Will Smith has better movies, and maybe I would give that to him. But overall, when it comes to skills and what they're capable of, I feel like Jamie Foxx has more range, because you know, when it comes to movies, I feel like nobody can really touch Will Smith because he was the top actor for a period of time. And I don't think that anybody can say that Jamie Foxx was the top actor for a period of time. Jamie Foxx does have an Oscar, though, and Will Smith doesn't have an Oscar.
That's a fact. And they both have
Grammys.
It's
hard to win an Oscar. It's very hard to win an Oscar. I mean, Will Smith has two nominations, and that's nothing to scoff at. But when it comes to winning, you know, only the greats win, and Jamie Foxx has won.
To be fair, Will Smith should have won for Pursuit of Happiness. And
I don't think so.
And the year that Jamie Foxx won, he got a bump and a boost from Ray Charles Dying because that award should have went to Don Cheadle. But I digress. Not taking anything away from him. Not taking anything away from him, though.
I don't think there's ever been a year where Will Smith should have won. People say that he should have won for Ali, playing Muhammad Ali. I was like, I don't know. I mean, that was a great performance. I feel like that was maybe a better performance than Pursuit of Happiness. But one thing that I can't lie about when it comes to Will Smith is that whenever I see him in any movie, I see Will Smith. I don't see an actor. Whether that's 7 Pounds, I Am Legend, it's Will Smith playing an action person. It's Will Smith playing some person. Like,
that's an amazing point.
He doesn't disappear into his roles.
Yeah, you know what?
The same argument I have with Michael B. Jordan, too.
That is an amazing point that you just made. I never thought about that. Yeah, every time I see him, it's no different than looking at Will in Fresh Prince versus Will in Bad Boys. Like, he's always Will Smith. That is, man, you just won me over there. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because if you look at Jamie Foxx and what he did in his Oscar-winning performance for Ray, he disappeared completely into that role. He really did. And he does that in a lot of movies. He's in Dreamgirls. He disappears into that role. Like, he's great. Like, what Jamie Foxx did in Dreamgirls, Will Smith could not do. Like, I don't know if it's his charisma and how corny he can be in real life. He wouldn't disappear into this role. He would take me out of the film. I'd be like, okay, that's Will Smith playing a singer in the 60s. Like, he doesn't disappear. He's playing Serena Williams' father in an upcoming movie called King Richard. And I think that that movie's probably going to be a mess because they should have cast a dark-skinned actor to play that instead of putting Will Smith in blackface for that. That bothers me so much. It really does. When people, instead of casting a dark-skinned actor or actress, will put somebody that's light-skinned there and then put them in darker makeup. I feel like that's insulting.
Like they did with Zoe Saldana in the Nina Simone movie.
Exactly.
Not okay.
They even did it with Will Smith in Concussion. That person that he's portraying is a dark-skinned Nigerian doctor, and they put Will Smith in dark makeup. Tell the truth. And that was horrible. And then he had the nerve to complain about not winning or getting nominated for an Oscar for that role. It wasn't good.
I'd rather, honestly, have you just not, if you're going to still choose that person, right? Let's say it's a dark-skinned person in real life, but you hired a person whose skin is lighter for the role. I'd rather you just totally ignore the fact. If your heart's set on hiring that person, just ignore the fact that their skin's darker and just go with it. Don't darken their skin because that is insulting.
Yeah. Because imagine for Fred Hampton, when Daniel Kaluuya got that role, Fred Hampton is a couple, maybe 3 shades lighter than Daniel Kaluuya, but they didn't feel the need to give him light makeup.
Like
I agree with what you said. That'd be weird. Just make the commitment and keep it at that. Justify why you chose this actor for the role.
I mean, a lot of times when you're watching movies and things and, you know, any content, sometimes you have to suspend disbelief or use your imagination a little bit. It wouldn't have been that hard if they just were like, okay, this is Will Smith in a concussion movie. We don't need to put darker makeup on him. Just let him be. Let him act.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Will Smith is not a bad actor. I just don't think that he's like great. His likableness is great or his likability is great. But overall, when it comes to skill, I don't think anybody's like, Will Smith is like top five greatest actor of all time, because he's not in my top five. He's not even in my top 10, to be honest.
Let the people hear your top five then.
My top five actors, obviously you have to put Denzel in there. Denzel is up there. Who else is up there? Jack Nicholson is up there. Johnny Depp transforms into all of his roles. My favorite young actor right now is Daniel Kaluuya. There's so many, you know, great people. I feel like, honestly, Daniel Kaluuya is a better actor than Will Smith.
I've liked the movies I've seen him in thus far, but I have a soft spot in my heart for Will Smith. That was like, you know, that's a nostalgia type thing. I can give you guys my top five favorite off the top of my head of all time. And this is in no particular order, but definitely Denzel, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro. And you know how we all like somebody and it's like, I'm not saying that this person's amazing, but they're just one of my favorites. I'll really watch anything Vince Vaughn is in. I can't explain it. I can't tell you why. Interesting. Yeah, I can't tell you why. I really like Vince Vaughn. And then number five, and it wouldn't be him, Joe Pesci. I like those. I like gangster casino movies. I love all the Scorsese stuff. Samuel Jackson deserves some. He's up there too, because I love anything him. Anytime him and Tarantino get together, it's a great time.
Yeah, I'm not really into like mobster, mafia type movies. I feel like they're all the same for the most part. Hey Charlie, hey Polly, hey Guido, how you did I do? Nah, I'm good on all that, but I appreciate the acting. Like when it comes to acting, I appreciate more women than I do men. Like y'all know, Frances McDormand is probably my favorite actress, and then you have Angela Bassett. You can't go without mentioning her. And I think somebody that's very underrated is Elizabeth Moss. If y'all don't know who she is, she's the one that plays the lead in The Handmaid's Tale. If you saw the movie Invisible Man, she was the lead in that. I think that she's great in everything that she's in. Mad Men, she's the lead in that. Fantastic, underrated actress. And Handmaid's Tale is about to come on, so I'm about to get my fix. So y'all stay tuned for that too.
Well, since you're talking about watching stuff, I just want to give you guys a little PSA. I watched the show that's being advertised on Amazon called Them. And it is one of the best TV shows I've ever seen.
That's interesting.
But I never want to see it again. It's the most fucked up thing I've ever seen as a TV show, and it gave me nightmares. I don't partake in recreational sadness, and like there's nothing good about this show in the sense of feeling good. Like you talk about black trauma for entertainment. I mean, that took it to another level. That was black trauma on steroids, and I have no desire to ever see it again. But it's a great show. I mean, you watch it at your own risk, but whatever.
I wouldn't give people a recommendation based on what I've been seeing. People are like, with everything that we're experiencing in the world right now, why put yourself in front of like more black trauma? Because people said that most of the writers on that show were white. There's only one black writer, and it's all about black trauma and exploiting that. It seems like our pain is their entertainment, and I don't want to support something like that. People are like, there's basically no point to the show besides, you know, trauma. And I don't know, that's not something that I'm interested in watching. The trailers looked interesting, but it looked like a ripoff of what Jordan Peele does. The font looks like Jordan Peele. One of the actors is in one of Jordan Peele's movies, so I thought it was something from him, but it wasn't. So I'm like, I'm good. There's so much other great TV out there. I'm not going to subject myself to more black trauma for entertainment. I'm good.
Don't watch it then. Don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm not. All the reviews are not good. It has like a 60-something on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, yeah, I'll save my time.
Yeah, no, I was sharing it with you. I wasn't actually giving it a recommendation. But if you liked Lovecraft Country, then, you know, depending on how high your tolerance is, you'd get down with this. It's like Lovecraft Country and The Shining had a baby and then dropped the baby on its head. That's what it is. It's I don't know how to describe it. It's fucked up, man.
Personally, I don't even have time to watch TV anyway. I wish I did, but I think it's 10 episodes. So if you have 10 hours to spare, watch it at your own risk, I guess. I'll just say y'all continue to subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe. And maybe once a month, at the end of each month, we'll do a live. So, hey, you never know. But I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you guys for supporting the show and listening. And we have some surprises coming your way, so we're excited to reveal that to you soon. But until then, you know, that's it for me. Y'all have a great rest of your week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Don't forget to download, subscribe, leave a rating and a review. For Justin, I'm Dante. We're Polar Opposites, and we'll catch you on the next one. See ya.
Bye, guys.